Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court should strike down the Biden administration's so-called guidance that attempts to force hospitals to perform abortions. We're going to be talking about this important case at the U.S. Supreme Court on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, this is regarding Idaho's Defense of Life Act that was enacted in 2020 and took effect when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June 2022. And this law makes it a felony for doctors to perform an abortion unless it's necessary to save the life of a mother.
Yeah, so soon after Roe was overturned, the Biden administration's Secretary of the Health and Human Services, HHS, Xavier Becerra, who, by the way, was the former Attorney General of California, who actually began the criminal charges against Sandra Merritt, our client.
Well, he's publicly supported Planned Parenthood. He's not made that very secret at all.
No, he actually did a press conference with I Support Planned Parenthood signed behind him. So this Becerra, he issued a so-called policy guidance to hospitals stating that the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, or short for EMTALA law of 1986, preempts state abortion laws. That's what his guidance is, that this particular law preempts your state abortion laws and therefore requires doctors and thus hospitals to perform abortions under a broader set of exceptions than just to preserve the life of the mother. So in Idaho, the Defense of Life Act that went into effect after Roe was overturned in June of 2022 made it a felony for doctors to perform abortion unless it was necessary to save the life of the mother. So Becerra says, no, no, no. This guidance that he's given, now it overrides Idaho and every other law, and it's not limited to performing an abortion for the life of the mother. There's many other exceptions that can be considered, and therefore hospitals now, when these abortion clinics are being shut down, this is going to be the repository of a lot more abortions. And that was what he desired to do, override the state laws on pro-life and force hospitals to get into the abortion business.
But Matt, federal law does not preempt state abortion laws. And so what is he thinking?
Well, this law doesn't preempt state abortion laws. Federal law can preempt state laws if it's on the same issue and it was intended to do so. But not here, not this law. This law is not designed to preempt state abortion policy. And in fact, that's not what the law actually says. That's what the Secretary of HHS, the Biden administration, did in its so-called guidance. That's its own policy interpretation of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Biden administration now coming up with this opinion. The law was passed in 1986, right?
All right.
It's passed in 1986, and it's the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, the EMTALA law, 1986. Up until the Biden administration and Becerra becomes the Secretary of HHS, nobody had suggested the Department of HHS under all the prior presidents, and we're talking about George H.W., George W., Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, none of those presidents, none of those administrations actually suggested that the EMTALA law preempts state abortion laws. Now, all of a sudden, magically, the Biden administration comes up with policy guidance that, oh, yes, it does. It overrides your state abortion laws. And therefore, there are more exceptions than just saving the life of the mother. So not only do hospitals have to perform abortions to save the life of a mother, which is a very, very rare situation, almost never necessary, very rare, but they would have to perform abortions in other exceptions as well. Broad abortion rights in these hospitals forced by the federal agency.
No, in this particular case, Idaho has a near total abortion ban. So they went to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court granted them an emergency request allowing them to enforce this near total abortion ban in hospital rooms because of this situation with this EMTALA.
Yeah, so, you know, even though EMTALA does not mention abortion, Secretary Becerra interpreted the law as including abortion if the woman's physician believes abortion is the stabilizing treatment necessary. And by the way, hospitals are only supposed, you know, these emergency rooms, they only stabilize, they don't treat.
Right.
You know, if you need treatment, you get admitted to the hospital or you get discharged and you go to your other doctor. But they're not places where you go for treatment. They're places that you go for stabilization. But he says, well, if a physician says that an abortion is necessary to stabilize treatment, well, it's never necessary for that.
No.
But, you know, pro-abortion doctors could come up and concoct something like that. The guidance goes on to say that state abortion laws with more narrow exceptions than EMTALA are preempted and that physicians must perform an abortion if they feel it is necessary to resolve an emergency medical situation. Under the guidance, hospitals could lose federal funding for failing to comply.
And also doctors could be subject to penalties, I mean, ranging from 2 to 5 years in jail, fine, suspension, or revoking their medical license for not complying with that.
Yeah, so in August of 2022, a U.S. district judge blocked Idaho's abortion ban. And then a 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned it. But then the full Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals disagreed and reversed. And now this case ended up before the United States Supreme Court. So this case is a big case before the U.S. Supreme Court. And again, it's just another one of these examples of the Biden administration using the weaponization of the various agencies against people of faith and people of pro-life. And that's what they're doing with the Department of HHS. You know, the Biden administration has really a bad track record.
Oh, yes.
With regards to these executive orders and these agencies overstepping their boundaries and trying to create new law and new policies, whether it's the lockdowns, remember with the CDC, and they were trying to force compliance with the cruise lines, and DeSantis filed suit against the CDC and won that case. You go on and on and on about all these different mandates that the Biden administration did, mandates against the military, mandates on employers. Lots of these mandates have been overturned as violating his constitutional authority, and I think this will be another one.
Well, the Biden administration just thinks it can get up there and play government and do its own and create its own laws, but that's not what America is about. So, for example, then we have to fight back and we have to set them straight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Biden administration just argues that, well, the HHS guidelines are just clarifying existing law. That is hogwash. It's not true. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, has now allowed Idaho's abortion law to go into effect. But the underlying issue here of the authority or lack thereof of the Department of Health and Human Services is before the U.S. Supreme Court. Lots of blockbuster cases are before the U.S. Supreme Court. This one, and all these will be decided by January 6th.
Good job security for the Supreme Court here.
Yeah, I mean, by January 6th. All of these will be decided by the end of June. January 6th is going to be one of those cases.
Right.
This one will be certainly a case.
In April.
Also have the abortion pill case. You also have the social media censorship. Those are four huge cases. It's going to be a busy week in June.
And imagine the decisions probably come out in June, end of June,
These decisions are probably going to come out the end of June. So no vacations.
That's the way it is every year. Yeah.
I know. You know, Anita and I, we didn't realize we were going to be so involved in the United States Supreme Court when we got married in June. Had we known that.
Yeah, should have thought.
We would not have chosen June as our month where we would celebrate our anniversary. Typically, we have to move it to July after the June term is over because every June, especially the last week, 2 weeks, even the last couple of days, blockbuster cases come out.
Right.
Some big, big cases that are coming down from the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, we filed amicus briefs in these cases and many more other cases before the High Court. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. We have a special page dedicated to the sanctity of human life, and that page is lc.org/life, lc.org/life.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.